WHIVLP New Orleans. The show is Good Morning Comrade. You can check us out online right now at WHIVFM.org/listen. You can also check us out on the WHIV website, WHIVFM.org/good-morning-comrade. Good morning, comrades. How are y'all?
Hello.
I'm okay. It's been a week. It's always a week.
It's always been a week.
It's always.
Every week it's been a week. And we record at night, so it's been like a lot of the times we're just sort of like at the end of it. We've had it.
Yeah, we've had a lot of reflecting on our days and are feeling.
The last thing I want to do at the end of the day is reflect on
it.
I want to just like, I want to not feel the pain anymore.
I know. Oh, it's been, it's the what is it today? The third of the month?
So, wake up. It's the third of the month.
No, but seriously, y'all, it's like when you're in housing, the first through the third is like.
What is housing?
Go ahead and describe what's going on here.
I work for permanent supportive housing. And so I essentially like my job is to keep my clients housed. So like whatever.
Yeah. That's
whatever
important.
That means
they're,
to like
they're staying
to
in
them.
A place and they have somewhere to live. That's
yeah, no, it's super important. Thanks. Pat myself on the back. But yeah, no, the first through the third is like nightmare scenario because you're just like trying to. Make sure everyone pays their rent, and like usually only like a quarter of people pay their rent, and then you have to like figure out why the rest aren't, and then like cajole them to do it.
Maybe it's the landlord's fault more than anything. I don't know.
Landlords, like rampant substance use and mental illness, and the fact that disability checks are only $771.
That
like,
is pathetic.
Wow.
Check, check, check. So yeah. So if I'm a little lower energy. Than normal.
You don't seem
because
low
energy
to me.
Because I got those third of the month blues.
Third of the month blues.
That's what I do.
So every year in October at my job, we have to do like performance review or whatever.
Every month?
No, every year.
Oh, every year. Okay.
And so it's such like a, I don't know, some people at my work listen to this and honestly, I don't care.
I guess I care.
Spread this around, get this to who it needs to go to. So it's such like a trap, like I have to evaluate myself and then you get to evaluate me. It's such like a goofy Donald Trump art of the deal, like negotiation tactic. It's so ridiculous.
I actually have to do that too. I just got an email about it.
Yeah. It's awful. Mm-hmm. Like nobody should ever have to do that. It's terrible.
I don't know that. See, that's like a gender difference though. Cause I feel like for guys, it's like, oh, I don't want to rate myself too high. Cause it's going to sound, I'm like, oh man, if I rate myself too low, but this is how I feel, but I don't want to get fired, but I know I could be doing better.
But it is what you need to understand. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I remember last year I rated myself too low and they were like, oh, you're so much better than what you think. I'm like, yeah, okay, great. And it wasn't some like power move I was trying to pull off because there's a whole like section in the back that's like, what can we do to help you succeed? And like, I'm supposed to write this essay and I just honestly want to want, I honestly want to put, to help you reach your goals. I was like, I honestly want to write because of my soul crushing anxiety, my goal is for you not to talk to me ever. Unless somebody's dying, unless somebody's bleeding out, not breathing, something's on fire. Like, if you could just not, just don't even acknowledge my existence. Like, if you want to just communicate with me in post-it notes and just leave post-it notes while I'll find them so I don't have to have a conversation and it's not directed at the boss because it's not even directed at you. It's just, I cannot. I just don't want to talk to people in any capacity that do not have like a vested interest in my well-being.
I
know that feels very selfish, but that's how my
anxiety. That's not
anxiety
selfish at all.
I don't know. I feel like
that's
if you
are
a
all.
White dude in Silicon Valley, like you definitely have a startup there. Just like it's like post-it notes. It's like, are you tired of talking to your employees?
That's
just like post-it notes.
Well, that's the thing. That's what like Slack is supposed to be. And anybody who doesn't know what Slack is.
It's the worst website in the world.
It stresses me out so much.
It's worse than Facebook and Twitter.
It's a messaging. It's so you sign up for, it's like that GoToMeeting or if you have meetings at work, it's supposed to be like you can have it mobile on the go, and instead of having face-to-face meetings, everybody can just meet in a virtual space, and they can, you know, get the important thing across without wasting everybody's time. But corporations don't want to do that. What they want to do, their idea is like, oh, what a great idea just to keep track of everybody and have 24-hour access to you.
Memos all the time, baby.
And on top of that, we'll have our face-to-face meetings, which completely waste your time.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The email that could have been a Slack. The meeting that could have been an email that could have been on Slack.
That's 90% of my, like at my job we have a Tuesday face to face meeting, which I don't go because I have a standing mental health appointment therapist.
And also that's your day off.
Well, it's funny how those things like coincide. Like, yeah, my day Weird. Off before I get to like
wow, how'd that
try to take care of my
fall into
health.
Place like that. That's beautiful.
I know. It's because I planned it like that.
Mm.
And I was
that how
I was
it
like,
works.
I remember when I got hired, I was like, I could come to the, like, I remember at first I was like, hey, have y'all heard of Slack? Like, we could do this remotely. And they're like, and a couple of like older people were like, nah, I don't want them to have access to me like this. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I'm such a go-getter, but I just want to be informed.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I never want to come to one of these face-to-face meetings. Every time I come in on Wednesday and people complain to me about the meeting because I wasn't there, they complain to me like how petty it was and how like, nothing got accomplished. It was just a petty fest. And then you have to like, but we have a binder that we have to fill out with the important like minutes of the meeting. So it's like, what is even the per? It's like it's an analog Slack. So why aren't we just doing this? Why aren't we just like, y'all already know what the important points you want to get across. So just disseminate that through work email. Stop making people come in for this. I mean, I just,
it's
how
another
can your
thing.
Bosses truly express their disappointment in your output.
Oh God.
If it's not face to face.
That goes to something. It's not just, I know I'm harping on my job, but I just want to be very clear. That's like a corporate thing. It's not even about, they want you to have buy-in. I already know.
The buy-in's a lie.
They want me to, when we have this.
A lie-in.
We have this, whatchamacallit. We have this, I can already tell you how this evaluation's going to go. They're going to be like, oh, Robert, you do a really good job. I just don't feel like you're invested here. And then from the cockles of my soul, I'm going to scream out, you're right. I'm not. And here's why. But then we don't do that because we all need to work to like try not to be homeless. So we were like, oh, yeah, I'll do better at that. And I'm like, I want to be like, one, no, I don't want to have buy-in because I don't want to be emotionally attached because these are the reasons. And two, my anxiety won't let me. It just won't let. I physically cannot do that for you.
So I did have buy-in at one of my jobs, and I would voice.
It was a safe space to admit that.
I would voice my feelings about what they could do better to assist me in my position. That was, in fact, in my boss's email signature, but apparently was private.
Sometimes it'd be like that.
Sometimes
it do
be
like
that. But it was fine because then a bunch of my colleagues were implicated in some sort of a lawsuit. Oof. At the jail. And I was like, oh, dodged that bullet. So thumbs up for me and my just mouthy ways, just putting my nose where it doesn't belong.
Yeah. And now here we are on the radio talking, running our mouth.
Yeah.
I was mouthy yesterday. I was mouthy at the
you
school
were.
Board meeting.
So
I got
heard,
tell
yeah.
us about that.
So there was this reading. Oh, why are you pointing at my adorable dog when I'm trying to talk my story? Am I boring you already, Mr. Johnson?
Okay. So we've been switching off on
weekly
recording
we
locations.
Record.
So
yeah.
The bad dog is Johnny. That's ours.
Oh, come
that's
on.
That's Robertson, my dog.
And
he's
an adorable
he's very adorable
boy.
And great, but he's way too smart and he barks a lot. Jeff's dogs are small little angels, and they are sleeping.
You don't live with them.
Oh, my God. They are sleeping like the cutest way I've ever seen, and they are both wearing super festive Halloween bow ties. And
yeah.
It's like the cutest thing I've ever seen.
The cat, too.
The cat is wearing a little
the
bow tie.
Orange cat is wearing
and
an
also,
orange flannel.
Has bit me like four times.
Yeah, he's
but
an
ass. It's very sweet. And curled up in a bed right now. And I'm sorry. I know we have to talk about sad things, but first I wanted to
know
about
are good.
No, we talk had to talk about the animals before we talk about why you got fired up. Because
I was very fired up.
Because it's a bad thing, but then the animals are good things.
Well, it's good. So there is a very good part to this story. And the good part of the story is that... so I guess I'm going to start with the beginning of the story instead of doing the Quentin Tarantino thing. Like we're trying to not do, because you hate Quentin Tarantino so much.
I do. I hate
anyway, him. The so last night, I'm talking about Wednesday the 2nd. We're recording on Thursday the 3rd. Pop open that coffee.
It's been a long day.
It has been a long day. But anyway, Wednesday the 2nd was a Jefferson Parish School Board meeting, which is a place where I work. And one of the school board members put forward one of these motions that was to put together a report that would, you know, look for various things for the Jefferson Parish School Board, you know, administration to look for, that would include things like, you know, consolidation of schools. And that means essentially closing schools and making them like, you know, kindergarten through 8 schools. And another thing that was mentioned on there was school choice, that was explicitly mentioned on here. And so probably about me and about the president of Jefferson Federation of Teachers, my friend Kessler, and about a half dozen other teachers went up there, and we sort of like said, well, we know what's going on. You know, this is something that I've already been shaking things up like constantly for the past 2 years. And it's having a huge impact on our kids, having a huge impact on us. It's stressing us out and all these horrible things. And I sort of like went up there and I was extremely provocative and I drew the battle lines. And I was like, yeah, where you come down on, like I said, basically, we know what's going on. We know what school choice means, because school choice means what to y'all? What does school choice mean?
It means that you have a choice. Choice is always good. I'm a feminist, so I love choice.
Ladies be choosing.
Ladies do be choosing. So I get to choose.
They're choosing up out here.
What school my child goes to.
As long as it's not a public school. System. Or really the school gets to choose not to accept children that won't get them high scores.
Some children don't deserve education.
Look, you don't deserve to choose. That's just how it is. And that's sort of so school choice is school. And you might.
I know this is on, you know, if you listen to WHIV 102.3 FM. Low Power FM in New Orleans or wherever you're listening to in the world, you already have like a certain mindset about, you know, I can already guess like the makeup of what you think about charter schools and whatnot. But there was a time not that long ago, like Aaron and I don't have kids, but I was like, yeah, school choice would be great. Children be stuck going to the bad school? Shouldn't they have a chance to go the quote unquote
the way out?
The quote, yeah, I'm making the air quote about bad schools. My point is, can we go over for a minute before we zoom on of like why the voucher system's bad, why charter schools are bad, why what we're talking about is bad? I just don't want to like block over that.
So let's just refer back to our conversation that we had last Monday with Lee Berrios, and one that I imagine we will have had yesterday as of the release of this show with Marion Benora and Dr. Ashanta Wyatt, two more people who are running for the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, who are very, very anti-school reform. School reform essentially means the privatization of our education system, which means selling off our schools to charters which don't necessarily have a interest in educating our children any further than they do to maintain contracts which make them money, which creates a completely disparate set of incentives from the public good. And so what it sets the school board in is a sort of like middleman to broker contracts to these, you know, independent,
like
completely unaccountable contractors.
Imagine Martin Shkreli.
Yeah.
Decided that he wanted to get into the school business and was like, all right, I have a school now. Mm. Like, that's essentially what charter schools are. It's like, yeah, there's probably...
I would be surprised if he didn't have one by now.
Well, I think it's because he's in jail.
That's not going to stop him.
Fair. But it's... So, there, and I don't want to like paint everything with a broad brush, because there are some really great charter schools out there, I'm sure, that do a good job teaching kids. However...
The vast minority.
And the fact... And, you know, one of the reasons they can be so quote-unquote great is that they do have the option of kicking kids out. So if you have a kid who's a disciplinary problem, like air quotes, or a kid that's not scoring well on tests, things like that, it's very easy for them to just kick them out. So, of course, they're going to score an A grade or however, whatever BS we do
and in Louisiana. And also,
because like you just kick all the low scoring kids out.
Oh yeah, through your discipline policy that you have in place or whatever that's designed to do just that. And also there is the element of breaking up organized teachers unions that already exist. I know we mentioned on last Monday, and I'm sure we will have mentioned yesterday as of release, the firing of the thousands of of Orleans Parish teachers after Hurricane Katrina, when the privatization process took place in the disaster capitalism after the hurricane. So and the way that collective bargaining occurs with charter schools is that it has to happen individually with each charter school or network of schools. So that's who the contract goes between. It goes between the teachers and the unit. So that really breaks up any kind of organization that happens. It makes things a lot more complicated.
And one of the reasons why, so just here's like a real world example of why that's problematic, is obviously teacher salary, just kind of like living wage, all that, all those things. However, so a lot of these, because there's no kind of like, there's not a union for teachers or anyone who works in the schools to go to.
Oh, there's a union. There is a union. United Teachers New Orleans does exist. It's just difficult to have a contract between the union and all of these different groups. United Teachers New Orleans, I have several friends who've been part of projects that have been engaging in organizing, but it's a very slow process. There are three schools in Orleans Parish that have declared unions. One of them is Morris Jefferson. The other is Coghill, which actually going through the process of being closed, which means that will be a union school that closes potentially. And the other is Benjamin Franklin, which is an advanced academy essentially, which you have to test into.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess everyone should probably join that then.
Yeah, right. They have at-large members that are throughout the city, but in order to have like an organized singular entity at a school, it's a lot more complicated.
Well, we talked about this with Lee Barrowad.
Lee Barrios. Barrios.
Barrios.
No relation.
Yeah, I'm not from here, and I just really don't know how to pronounce anything. But if you ever came to Pennsylvania, you would not be able to pronounce anything either. So, I don't know. I guess
I can pronounce Yingling.
How about Conshohocken?
You did.
I pronounced it. What you said. If you read it, you would not be able to pronounce it. The Schuylkill? Nope. Anyway, that's for our Philly listeners out there.
You are listening to WHIV-LP New Orleans 102.3. This show is Good Morning Comrade. You can check us out online at whivfm.org/listen. Check out our website, goodmorningcomrade.com. So anyway.
Yeah, so we were talking about Lee Barrios and what she was talking about. And one of the points I thought she made that was really great, and I think is a way to really connect with parents and people who don't quite understand why the charter school system is a problem, is that each charter school is essentially on its own when it comes to providing services to kids. So they have to find their own. Yeah, they have to find their own buses. Like, they have to have their own contracts with buses. But that also means, like, for special ed, for they have to find, like, there's not a standardized thing. So it could be, in other kind of more unified school districts. And please correct me if I'm wrong.
So there's standardized, and again, I don't work in Orleans, but there is a standardized, like, federal legislation, there's state legislation, and things like that have, like, baseline standards, but the implementation is on the schools.
Well, sure. So in a kind of
there's no standardized implementation
system, mm-hmm. If a child was very, very special needs, they could place that child at a school that specializes in that.
Right.
And there's a lot more kind of
there's more shared resources and economy of scale.
Yeah. Whereas there just isn't that. And where that comes into play. So there are schools in New Orleans, but that don't have social workers,
right.
Like that don't have counseling. They have one social worker for, the entire school, probably like 500 mm-hmm. kids, which is out of control as far as caseload goes.
Right.
I've heard stories of, this is not like only one story, but multiple stories of social workers being pressured to not make DCFS reports by their
that
school leadership.
Is so illegal,
so very illegal. I've heard it multiple times, and it's because you have school administrators, who are not teachers, who they're like, oh well, we don't want to ruin rapport, we don't want them to take their kid out, whatever it is. But it's just so
rapport.
Bad
rapport.
For the kids, and it's so
that
frustrating.
That kid's rapport is.
I know.
Anyway. So going back to last night's school board meeting, there were several teachers that went up and they went and spoke against this motion that this school board member was putting forward is a guy named Clay Moyes. And he's a business owner in the area. He's all wrapped up in these, you know, business council, like, complete and utter blah of Hydra. But it was really cool that to see so many of my colleagues go up there. And I actually went up there as well and started talking about, like, yeah, so we know what this means. We know who you work for. We know what you're doing. And how you vote on this essentially tells you what side of the fight you're on. And the way that it's organized is that the public comment happens and then the board sort of like replies to the comments, which is so cowardly.
That is pretty cowardly.
Yeah. And so about four of these members, I can name them off the top of my head, a guy named Billy North, a guy named Mark Morgan, a guy named Larry Dale, are the three that come, and Clay Moyes himself. They all said, school choice? That means charter schools? I didn't know that. I was just thinking that we would be able to make choices for our schools and doing all this other stuff. And also, we think that you teachers need to get educated on the issues. And that's when I just started screaming from my seat at them, saying, like, you are, like, completely patronizing us. And then they started, like, firing back with this, you know, if, you know, you're really setting a great example for our children, like tone policing stuff.
Oh, goodness.
And wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to show y'all the video and maybe we can play some audio for the show. But it got super intense and I was like shaking. I was so hot. Like I was furious because if I talked to my kids the way that they were talking to us, they would come back at me just as hard. And they would be right to do so. Because you don't treat people like garbage. You don't treat people like they don't know anything. You don't treat people like trash. And these people sitting up in their high little, you know, perches with their microphones and with their, you know, elected positions or whatever, they think they can just talk to whoever, however they want and get away with it. If they were sitting right in front of me and they said that, you can imagine what would happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one of those things that it is such a low bar to be in local government. Like, it's so, I mean, not, there's in bigger cities, but I know, like, if you're in a smaller town, there's probably, like, four people voting. And, like, people routinely win by one or two votes.
Jefferson Parish is the largest school district in the state of Louisiana. And one of these districts, I think it was District 1 or 3. I think it was 3. But a friend of mine ran, and he lost by, like, 8 votes.
Yeah, so I've just heard so many people talk about how they don't vote, which I really don't understand. But, I mean, no, I do understand because they feel like it's futile or whatever. Yeah, but your vote may or may not matter kind of on, like, the national level, right? Like, one vote is not going to make or break, like, whether Trump wins, for instance. But one vote really could make or break who's on your local school board. And these are the kind of issues that are actually affected by that. So it's so important to go out and vote, especially for local elections, because this kind of, you can't, if you're not getting out there and getting your voice heard, you know, you can go to these meetings and things. And yeah, I mean, we've talked about there's other ways to kind of make your dissent and make your kind of feelings known, but ultimately, go to the ballot box.
Disregard for anybody who shows up there because they feel that they're protected and they have no consequences that come on to them until the election happens. And then when the election comes around, they're all super nice and sweet. And they're like, oh, wow, look at how much we do for the community. But in between the times, they're just hammering you with a stick the entire time. So anyway, in addition to what you were saying about, I'm fired up again because I'm reliving it in my brain. But in addition to what you were saying about getting out and voting, like in local elections, if you can like go canvassing and knocking on doors and actually turn people out to vote for somebody who's actually good, or even like you say, it's small. Small is a relative thing, but if it's like, you know, if you need to get 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people to vote for you to win an election, people could run for office in these local, in these, you know, small places, and it's not. It's not absurd to think that just some regular Joe Schmo could win.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So I think the people conflate their cynicism on the national level with their local politics because, yeah, it is very frustrating when a candidate for a national election wins because they've, you know, got a million dollars, like millions of dollars in donations from corporations, or when, you know, we have corporations or people, they have just as much of a voice as you. Yeah, it's very easy to be cynical about that. However, that kind of money is not flowing in and out of local elections. Like, yes, there might be some money going and there might be some corruption. And it depends on the
there is a lot of corruption. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of it going on and happening here as well. The thing is that, I mean, the thing is that people beat money every single time. It's just how it works.
Yeah.
They don't get a, I mean, you don't get a, I mean, so in a sense that money can be used to buy people off, but in the grand scheme of things, if you have people, you can win.
Yeah, it's just, it's a lot less money on the local level, and it's a lot easier to counter. And it's also a lot easier to kind of find out. Like, there's a lot, there's like...
Everybody knows somebody.
Well, I mean, it's like, there's not going to be super PACs. Like,
yes, there are. There are PACs and super PACs. There are, that takes place at local level, but
So isn't there, what is that one guy? He's like a, he has a bunch of shows on like Sydney something or other.
Sydney Torres. That guy is from Sean Madden. And he is the worst.
Yeah, I feel he might have a super PAC, to be honest.
That dude doesn't like, that dude is just absolute garbage, and he's actually kind of a fascist. I mean, like, it's, his entire, he's from Sean Madden. I'm from Sean Madden, and he's just absolute garbage. But, he is, all he is like the son of a lawyer, and he made like a whole bunch of money with garbage, like just being the big mob boss of garbage. And then he also created an app that would, and the garbage thing, and also like flipping houses and like just basically gentrifying the city. He's the worst person in the world.
Flipping
houses. Ugh, he's trash.
But my favorite thing is this is not my favorite part of the story, but he bought the Circle grocery store, which is like really upsetting because like that. It's like a needed... Anyway, it's a needed grocery store in a neighborhood that doesn't have any grocery stores.
Yeah, why is the Circle grocery store a big deal?
So it was a grocery store. Yeah, it's right in the middle of the Treme, like right on the edges of like the Bywater. There's not a ton... There's a Robert's now, which is like very helpful to the community. I get lunch there all the time. I'm a hypocrite.
It's an expensive store.
It's an expensive grocery store.
It's where you should get discounts, right?
Where I should be getting discounts because, side note... A cop in front of me today at Robert's got a 10% discount as a thank you for his service. And I was like, excuse you, I should also get a 10% discount.
That goes back to the class above stuff that we were talking about before, too.
I was very upset about it. And to be honest, I feel like he was like a state trooper. And I was like, come on, man. I was like...
You're just a traffic cop.
And also, right. The Circle grocery store, it flooded after Katrina. And it was owned by a family. And they tried their best to like keep it going. But they just couldn't. They couldn't afford it, so that's why it got sold to
Sydney Torres, which is where my favorite part of the story comes in, because none of that was actually good things. But as soon as he bought it, someone climbed up. It's a very beautiful building, and they have like kind of a steeple at the top, almost, or like a clock tower, almost.
It's a circle.
Iconic. And someone just clearly climbed up there and just spray painted F. ** Sydney Torres, and it was there for all of everyone on I-10 to see, and I very much enjoyed it until it got painted over. And I'm just, if anybody felt like doing that again, that'd be cool.
I mean, look, like, if you're listening again, this goes back to my thing of, like, Aaron and I have these conversations all the time about different stuff, and I always, I rant at her and I say, well, you gotta like read the room, you gotta know your audience. So if it's somebody, we talk about people getting out to vote. Like, we have a lot, early voting's going on right now in New Orleans. Should definitely go vote.
You do get stickers.
You do get stickers. Mm. It takes 10 minutes of your day. There's actually free parking in front of City Hall, so you can go there and do it.
They won't give you a ticket?
No. They shut off the meters for early voting.
It's almost like it's a Saints game, but it's just voting.
I know. But the... people who, if you're listening to this show, you're into the show, wherever you are in the world, wherever you're in the country, you have some kind of like political education. We might not have exactly the same praxis, but you have some kind of political education. Now, if somebody who is on the grind every day, somebody's working 40 plus hours a week, just trying to make it day to day, they don't vote because they say they don't have time. They're not educated on the issues. That is a failing of people like us who need to go out.
Pete, what a perfect angel. What a perfect angel.
There he goes. Pete.
He's protecting us all right now and also voicing his ardent support in the idea of voting.
I love how you can make dog barks. You always make the dog bark, say whatever you want to say. It's crazy.
That's because I'm
all right. Psychic. Thank you, Pete. Shut the door.
Anyway, so voting. But no tickets.
So the guy
at City Hall.
No, no tickets. So if you are out there working, you know, 40 plus hours a week and you're not educated on these issues and you don't vote and you have a very cynical view of voting, that is a failure on people like us. Like, people like us should be reaching out to our neighbors and letting them know why local elections matter so much. It matters more than, you know, local and state elections matter way more than national elections. But if you're listening to this show and you don't vote, and this goes to a lot of my friends too, I really just want to hit you with the bat. Like, I really don't as so serious as I can be. Even if you are the most...
All right, I'm a vote. Okay, fine.
You're the most, like, militant... You're the most militant person, and you are like, you know, voting is a bourgeoisie act, and nothing good ever comes from it. You are... The reason why nothing good ever comes from it is because you're conceding ground to people who are not going to let anything good come out of the government. So why would you concede that ground? Why would you concede that ground to them? It literally takes you five, 10 minutes out of your day to go vote, and something good might happen. If you don't vote, for sure, something bad is going to happen. It's the biggest return on your investment as a citizen.
No investment, you mean?
Of no investment. Yeah. Of 5 to 10 minutes of waiting in line, maybe.
And your job has to let you go. Like, yeah, that's a true thing. I know it's very frustrating because I think a lot of times bosses are not willing. They're just...
That is a true thing.
But they have to.
You're saying that bosses are bad?
I'm just saying, I'm not saying all bosses. Hashtag not all bosses.
All bosses. Every single one.
But some bosses, some are pretty bad. Some middle management is not out... They're not there for your best interests. I know this might be shocking to anyone listening.
If you're living in wherever city you're living in, especially if you're listening to us local here in New Orleans or Louisiana, and only election you vote in, if that, you know, is the national election every 4 years, you're dead wrong. You need to be voting in every single stupid little piddly election, because these are the ones that decide who your dog catcher is, how the streets get paved, if the potholes get paved at all.
They don't.
You know, and these are the things that actually are going to have material benefit of your life on your life. And again, if you're not taking that little bit of time on such a huge return on investment and just conceding this space of electoral politics, no matter how you might think about it, to bad people. Like, even if the person I had this talk with the host, Don P of the Morning Brew, the guy that the show before us, we were talking in the studio last week.
Happy birthday, Don P.
And I was like, even if this isn't like placing a bet on a roulette wheel, or like, you know, going out to Mississippi and putting on $100 in a sports book on the Saints. I go, even if the candidate that you vote for loses, you personally have lost nothing. This isn't like something that you need to, I mean, yeah, a bad person got elected and yeah, you're going to feel it that way. But what I'm trying to say is, like, there's no downside for you going to vote.
And one of the upsides is, if you are a Karen at heart like me, there is nothing
you're
better.
You're a Karen.
Karen, like the bad kind.
Hold on. I said caring Karen.
Oh, caring Karen.
All right.
I like that. Oh, all right. I am a caring Karen here.
Real quick, you're listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. This is Good Morning Comrade. Caring Karen. Go on.
If you're a caring Karen like me and you like to go speak to your elected representatives, which means you're probably a white woman because I feel like no one else does that. But it's so Depends satisfying to be able to say, I vote. I vote in every election, which I do. And
you can lie to them too, though.
No, but people can see what elections you voted in. There's a voter register.
It's all public record.
And so if they ever look up my name, if they look up Aaron Huggins, they're going to be like, damn, she votes. In everything. I vote because I really don't understand it. Because, like, here in Louisiana, we vote like all the time. Like, we have at least five
elections
a year. Like, that's not an exaggeration. Like, I know, we vote single amendments.
In Louisiana, there's stuff that's
based around
Mardi Gras.
We often have ones that are in, like,
Gras.
March and stuff, yeah.
There's stuff that's because you don't want to have something running concurrent with Mardi Gras, but that's also part of the hustle. That's part of the game. That's part of, like, slam so much down your gullet to where it's just like, oh, forget it, I'm not doing this. And then that's when, like...
You tap out.
That's when, like, the terrible state amendment comes in that's, like, takes your jewel pot away. You're like, what? What happened? What happened to Vape Nation, bro? It's like, you didn't vote, bro. Like, that's what happened.
Wow, Robert is.
You can take the jewel pot from
the gauntlet.
You can take the jewel pot from my whole dead hand.
No, it just really makes me angry. Like, I have a certain, like, level of anger. Like, I have certain pyramids of anger for this. And like I said, people who don't vote because they're uneducated, they have never been educated, they feel rightly that they're marginalized from society, that's our failing. I'm mad because we don't talk to our neighbors. So that's on us, mad at myself. Second level is all the like phony revolutionaries out there who are like stroking their Marx beard and they're like, oh, voting, man, it's bourgeoisie act. I'm just gonna sit right here and drink my LaCroix.
Actually, Lenin never voted, man.
I don't want to hear that. Like that's
he was
ridiculous.
In the legislation of the Soviets.
I don't know, I feel like that angry. Might be our base, though.
No, not at all.
No.
See, and then I have... okay, let me back that up. So the pyramid step after that is the people I'm not angry with. I'm sorry. Or the people who are like, I'm a revolutionary Marxist-Leninist. And I'm like...
I want a bumper sticker that says, I'm a revolutionary Marxist-Leninist and I vote.
I'm preparing for societal breakdown. And we're going to take care of our neighbors. And we're putting in the work. We're going to buy a...
No, that's more syndicalist stuff, right?
Excuse me. No, but we're going to buy a plot of land, and yeah, we're totally getting syndicalist. Guns, food, and ammo ready. I'm like, cool. I like that because you have action. Take 5 minutes from prepping and just go press your button real quick, and you can get back to prepping.
Look,
I'm not mad at you,
take a break from target practice.
Right, and you can go back to prepping because I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. And then after that are the coffee shop Marxists. And then after that are, like, the bourgeoisie, like... We're just gonna run everybody down today. It's the bourgeoisie people who are just like, I just don't like to get involved in politics.
So is that
like,
the very fine. Like okay,
you mean
so
academic?
Is that you're most angry at?
Yeah, like the bourgeois people are just like, I just don't want to talk about politics. Like
that's
that kind of
like
person.
Liberals though,
like
right?
Yeah, liberals.
That's like
there's
liberals.
Tons of liberals who don't vote.
Oh yeah,
and they're just like, I don't have time. I had to drag my dad. One of my dad's personal friends. I totally remember this. She was a member of the Sierra Club, and she was running for something. And
she didn't vote for herself.
And
man.
I went and voted, and so I went and vote, and so my dad's name and my name would be right next to each other. And I see this guy hadn't voted. I literally had to like shame him into go vote for his own friend. And I'm like, what? What? It's just like, just go hit the button. I don't understand. There's not this, like, you are not doing the labors of Hercules going just hitting the button. You're not. I don't understand what is this thing. And for the people, again, for the people who do have to do the labors of Hercules because their district is gerrymandered, they don't have transportation, they have to do stupid ID laws, all voter disenfranchisement. That's what we need to do. That we need to fight that, and we need to get those people to the polls and get them what they need. But for the person who can't go 2 minutes down the block and go vote at the church, and then I just don't know about all this politics, and then going to complain why the potholes are in the street.
So I'm not trying to shame anyone who's listening to us, but I am getting married on election day this year, and so I made sure to early vote. Because I care about democracy, and I made time out of my busy day to go vote. And so I'm saying.
So y'all are leaving town that weekend, and Kimberly is leaving town that weekend. I'm going to be alone by myself. What am I going to do?
So prepare yourselves for some drunken rants on education policy. We're excited.
You hate to
Can't
see it.
Can't wait to hear it. Love to see it. I just feel like, so I'm obviously the only woman here. And I feel like on one hand, I live with Robert and hear a lot of rants about his anger at centrists and also his love of dead malls and vaporwave, which we talked about.
Well, we should talk about that because Scott's not here.
I know. And then I have on the other hand, Jeff, who I really only see for podcast and radio show reasons, but definitely a lot of rants on education policy. It's a lot of male ranting.
What do you want?
Well, why don't you rant?
Oh, you want to talk about dead malls? You know, we got one up by the airport, right?
No, I know. No,
and it's got an ice skating rink in it. It's
which
so one? Weird.
Which one's dead by the
it's way? It's that,
not Esplanade.
The gallery. Yeah, the Esplanade. It's got a weird ice skating rink. Not in the middle of the mall, but like in one of the stores. No, it's dead. That's why I had to go get
it. Are you talking about the Mervyn's?
No, it's the Esplanade. Seriously.
No. The Mervyn's was in Esplanade. Was that where the ice skating rink was?
I don't know.
I
had to go to Lens Crafters. And the lady even said, like, the Lens Crafters lady was like, we're moving out of here. We're going to Lakeshore.
Lakeside.
Or like, whatever.
Lakeside.
Nobody knows. Nobody cares. But she's like, yeah, it's like one more store. It's like dead. I was like, man, dead malls are fascinating.
Press F to pay respects for the mall.
I mean, I don't know. Dead malls make me sad. I feel like I said this last time. But yeah, Robert really likes them for some reason. I don't know.
Dead malls don't vote, man. I don't care about them.
Dead malls don't vote. They don't.
I like them because
don't be
they're
like a dead mall. Go vote.
There's just like a monument to failed capitalism. Like it's like it's a weird time capsule.
Well, and plus it's space that doesn't get filled at all. It's just like not even necessarily saying it could be housing, but it could be something. You know, it definitely could be housing, or it could be something where someone lives, or it could be anything. But we just decided that, you know what, we're just going to let it be abandoned.
Let's just let it go back to the earth.
Right.
Let's just let the earth take it. See what happens when the aliens come in 100 years.
That's one of those things that really kind of blows me away with how Charity Hospital, right? Charity Hospital is a hospital in New Orleans that was essentially like one that people could go to if they didn't have money to have.
It's essentially like it's their safety. It was our safety net.
Yeah,
hospital.
It was a safety net hospital. And since the storm, really, it has just been a giant building in the middle of the city that does nothing. It's just a complete and utter...
Which is kind of insane.
Yeah.
Like, how is that not gentrified by now? How has somebody not bought that?
Well...
Someone has.
Who owns it now?
I don't know who owns it, but they have plans for it. Like, yeah, there's things.
I was talking to somebody. I was actually worked at Tailgate right before the Saints game on Sunday. Saints won, by the way. It was a Dallas Cowboys... fans tailgate,
right.
And I was like making them drinks the whole time. I was making drinks the whole time, and these people were kind of talking trash, and I was just like, okay, fine, whatever. And then Saints won, and I made $250, so that's pretty dope.
What'd you bet?
Huh?
What are you talking about?
No, I'm pouring the drinks. That's the tip that I made.
I about to say I made like $25 betting my online poker money through Bovada.
Whoa, how do you play online? Okay, we'll talk about it this after.
What do you mean how?
We'll talk about it after.
What do you mean why?
All right, fine. What sites run online
Bovada.
Poker these days? Okay.
Like, Bovada had, like, you just...
I don't know these things, man.
They accept U.S. Like,
I used to play back in the Party Poker days, but...
Oh, that's forever ago.
Not Party Poker, Poker Stars.
Yeah, but they don't care.
The Full Tilt.
Well, their thing is like this, like, oh, poker's banned in the U.S. except for a couple interstate rooms.
Like, yeah.
Like, New Jersey has one, Nevada has one.
I think...
But they're just like, Bovada just put a flag in the... I mean, they put their flag down and just said, we down here...
We're running out of here.
Gullah Gullah Island. Like, who gonna stop me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not really Gullah Gullah Island's in the United States, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we...
Gullah Gullah Island was a TV show.
Yeah, it's in South Carolina.
It's on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, it's a real place.
Gullah Gullah Island. Gullah Gullah.
Yeah, that was a bad joke, because that actually is a real place in South Carolina. But I'm like, we down here in whatever, man.
Is that where that racist theme park was? Is that in South Carolina, too?
Well,
yes, it is.
Oh, on the border or whatever?
Yeah.
Yes. I feel like the existence of Gullah Island. Is it Gullah Gullah Island?
Is Gullah Gullah Island on the border?
No. It's nowhere near south of the border. And the existence of Gullah Gullah Island does not negate any of the other racist nonsense of South Carolina. But please.
There's good stuff in South Carolina, too.
But, I mean, they just called, Bovada just called the United States government bluff. Be like, okay, it's illegal.
Do something.
We're down here out of your jurisdiction. Do something. What are you going to do? Nothing.
I appreciate that kind of moxie.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I mean, your payout might be, to be honest, like, for
you're
online
not putting
poker,
your life savings over
yeah,
there?
Like, I would, as soon, if I got my little... My little, like, I think I got like $75 in it right now. If I got that up to like $300, $400, I'm cashing out. Like, I'm not putting in, I'm not, oh no, no. That was a thing with, and now we're just on like illegal gambling chat. That was the thing I love it. With, you said poker.
Stick it to capitalism.
You said poker stars.
Poker stars.
When poker stars was just, cheating yeah. and they had to
no, hold. No, that was absolute poker.
Absolute, but no, there and was some tilt. Phil Ibey foolishness
full,
on poker.
Full tilt. No, full tilt.
Somebody was cheating.
No, it was absolute poker, and it was not full tilt. It was.
I think it was full tilt. Who sponsored Phil Ibey back in the day? It was full tilt.
No. It was a group. So you're listening to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. No, it was not. I'm Googling it right now.
But anyway,
now.
The point is, these jokers were sitting there with literally like tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and you can like look at. You could see the whole cards
on an offshore. On an offshore.
Account
mm-hmm. slash maybe a bank, I don't know. And you know, Black Friday came, which Black Friday was when the United States government said, no more, you ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
Bill
no
Frist.
More, no more online poker, get out of here. And people were like, where's my money? And they're like, oh, and it's gone. Like, why did you have that much money in such a shady thing anyway? Like, what were you doing?
Ultimate Bet, that's the one.
Oh, yeah, Ultimate Bet was who's to sponsor him? The Fossil Man guy, like that's who.
The Fossil Man.
Yeah, the guy.
I don't know, man. They had a lot, man.
The guy who wore the stupid.
Yeah,
like,
I know who you're talking about, Kramer. But like the Raymer. The thing about the and now we're really kind of going into a corner here. Like Aaron is totally uninterested.
Who cares?
But there was a time and it was so strange. No, you're fine to be uninterested. You're right to be uninterested.
It was on Facebook.
But like there was a time from like 2004. or 2003 until like 2008 where poker was popular and cards was popular and it was so stupid.
Yeah, so many people thinking like, oh, I'm gonna
look at that, I'm gonna become a millionaire by going to play cards.
I had that dream where I was just gonna be a professional poker player. I used to play live, like I used to play like 8 hours a day, like live poker at a casino. Trying to be a professional. I mean, I was all right. I was good enough to where I lost money slowly. Which is pretty good.
I was like, man, I bet I went all in with top pair, and he had top pair better kicker. I can't believe he called me. What a loser!
That's the thing. That's, but man, yeah, it's apparently poker's making a comeback though. But I
do
don't
we need
know.
A return of the very misanthropic white man? But like,
well, yeah, that
gains his redemption via
yeah.
gambling.
That was the best.
Movies,
that was yeah.
talking about Rounders.
We, yeah,
talking about Rounders.
I love Rounders.
So we, good. Remake.
Matt Damon. That movie was so insane because Edward Norton was just the biggest dummy in the world because he just constantly cheated, and Matt Damon was just like always running around like trying to cover him up, like trying to like make sure
well,
his friend doesn't get
story.
Killed.
That's the point of that story. Like if you ever seen that movie, like everybody, there's three good characters in that whole movie, right?
Yeah,
there's three people who are.
Are
good.
They all Teddy KGB because that's
no,
the best character in the
there's
world.
There's only three. There's only three people you should root for. There's,
John
I think,
Malkovich.
I think her name is Catherine Mole or whatever. I don't know what she did. The cute blonde was his girlfriend, who immediately was,
get out of here.
I'm gone.
Get out of here.
I'm leaving. This is crazy. She's like, no
you
way.
You just lost 30,000.
She just
000.
Didn't support his dreams.
Yeah.
Okay, real women support.
You just lost $300,000 of our money while we're lost.
Oh, well, to be honest, that was his money. That had nothing to do with her. They made
all
that
right.
very clear.
Okay.
It was though. That was
that
his money he was saving. Had nothing to do with her. It's not like that money was going in. That money was in a cigar box.
He worked really hard for that money. She didn't
do
anything. She just stayed at home.
No, she didn't. She was a law student.
I don't actually remember anything about
that. Yeah, I know. So what are you talking about?
They were both law students.
So she's a good person. The judge, Mironovsky, I think his name was.
No, it was Martin Landau.
Where Matt Damon's like, I need $30,000. Tonight.
Right now.
He's just like, what?
And then he gives it to
he's
him.
Like, he's like, no, he goes, if it must be tonight, I can give you a 20.
Yeah.
And then Kanish. was the best.
Well, that was always like, well, that's
what's his name? Who's in terrible movies now? Who used to be in good movies? John Turturro.
John Turturro.
Because his whole thing was, he was like, oh man, I'm in deep with the worst guy, with the worst Russian mob guy. He's like,
Teddy KGB.
He's like, didn't
who
I teach
John
you better
Malkovich?
Than this? He's like, you don't have the stones, man. You don't have the stones to make a play. And he goes, let me tell you about stones. He goes, I got alimony, rent. My kids eat. Yeah. He goes, I don't chase dreams in the World Series of poker.
I play for money.
I play for keeps. He's the hero, so those are the only three good characters.
No, Teddy KGB is great.
He's I mean, as far as like who you should root for.
I rooted for Teddy KGB the entire time because all he did.
Your boy's in it. Your boy from that one movie, like Invincible. The guy who owns the bar, who's in every Philly thing, who's like, hey, don't be peeing on the corner.
Oh, yeah.
He's a gangster in that movie. He's a low rank gangster. His name
Real
is
Stretch.
His name is Grandma.
Yeah, that's right.
Grandma. He's like, how much do you owe to Grandma?
That was also Famke Jensen was in that movie.
Oh, was
too.
She?
It's just so funny. It's like these like movies that are touchstones for like
and Rounders
dudes.
Rounders came before the poker explosion too.
Go ahead, Aaron. I got a story.
No, but
that.
Just like these touch. I'm always like, oh, I watch these and I'm like, oh, giant red flags. Like, what to
oh,
look
yeah.
for in potential romantic partners.
It wasn't red enough, apparently. Y'all are getting married this weekend.
That's 100% right. No, you're 100% right.
Still like Rounders.
No, I still love that movie, but I'm not like don't own a copy of it or the poster. And I'm like, ooh, this is a good thing to try to model
yeah.
your life after.
This
yeah.
Swingers
no,
and Reservoir Dogs.
You're 100% right.
No, I mean, like we've talked about this. We said it even on the podcast. I'm like a dude who's too into Clockwork Orange. I'm like,
ooh, that's
I'm
a
like,
tough one.
I need a restraining order just preemptively.
Ooh.
Michael I mean, Rounders Polly. Obviously isn't that bad, but like my
it's pretty bad.
Quentin Tarantino. Like, if you're too into Kill Bill, I'm like, I have feelings about it.
I have feelings just about your taste. Because
I mean, to be fair, I have seen What a Girl Wants with Amanda Bynes like
that's
12
fine.
Times.
No, I'm okay with that.
So,
because no, here's
I'm
the thing.
I'm really not the media critic
she,
that y'all
no,
should be looking
no,
to.
No, you know, you're giving I yourself, you're not giving yourself enough credit. You know exactly what that is. When somebody's going to sit here and tell me, I'm like, oh, it's Kill Bill, it's Pulp Fiction, whatever.
Reservoir Dogs.
I'm like, those are fine. Yeah, I like those. But somebody's like, Quentin Tarantino's the most innovative genius director. I'm like,
false.
He was an employee at Blockbuster Video, shout out, like, for all people who are, have a dream. But he watched a lot of old blaxploitation movies
and
then just remade those movies. That's not a genius move.
I just...
Actually, that's,
you're not reinventing
okay, so,
the
actually,
wheel.
So let me push back in a sense. So he's not a genius, of course.
That's what people...
Like, but, like, in a sense, also, like, any innovation is always based off of things that have previously existed.
But that's fine. But those things aren't even from, like... Okay, so there's cinemaphiles, which I would count myself as one, like, a pretentious cinemaphile who can say that. And, like...
oh,
I,
you're
I like,
pretentious, all right.
I like this for what it is.
I'm just kidding.
But then, like, normies... To normie like movie people, they think it's so artsy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
they think
I know
it's
exactly
like the height
saying.
Of high art, and I'm like, that's a trash movie for trash people.
Yeah, it's not like the Joker. The Joker,
no,
is
which
high
I'm going
art.
To see. Actually, I had a whole rant about this today with Aaron. I was like, I didn't know it was.
True.
It's Damn. Actually, it's actually a reimagining, a homage, a remake, whatever you want to call it, to Martin Scorsese's The King of Comedy.
Which I just don't understand. Why don't you just watch that movie?
Because I actually do want to see this Joker movie. Oh like, I'm going to watch it. It's going to be good.
I never watch movies anymore. I just
don't
do it.
Again, I'm not one to sit here. I really don't
I would
care.
Watch it today if I had time.
I don't care for movies. I like
are you watching it before or
movies.
After the wedding?
The
same
after,
seven. What are the seven? What are the seven?
What
are the seven?
It's What a Girl Wants. It's Ever After with Drew Barrymore. Okay, it's Gosford Park. It's Legally Blonde. And I know this is very, very surprising for me. Boondock Saints. Love it.
Wow. That's a, yeah, that's a red flag movie.
See, that's
Boondock
one of
that's
those.
A red flag
that's
movie.
One of those
it is. It is. And so maybe he should be taking note about me.
No,
yeah,
just
wow.
Your
there's
taste.
Still time for both of y'all to get out.
Taste is bad.
I know. I mean.
I'm more concerned about the Boondock Saints, like, than any of those other
it's
movies
because,
you listed.
It's because the Irish have been kept down for too long, and...
Trash.
No, I'm just kidding. I really liked that movie in college. Have you seen? And I also really liked Snatch for some reason, too. Snatch I like a lot of really terrible bro movies, but I think the difference...
No, bro movies are fine.
Bro, that's the thing. It makes me so mad when someone takes a movie that is clearly just a bro movie and then is tries to like say that it is high art.
They
and
I'm like,
it is not.
Yeah.
And I feel like people
Wow, thanks for saying what I just said.
In a more pleasant tone.
That's exactly what I said.
She said it nice.
I am just... Okay, so what you're going to find out when this podcast concludes is that I'm just... It's just been an elaborate thought experiment about what if I treated you like men treat women.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Karen's planning.
Yeah, no. So please listen to my opinion.
Robert
is not fully formed.
Furious right now.
I don't even know what that means. So.
No. So it's just so frustrating to me, like movies in general and books too. It's like all these things that are supposed to be, and books, I guess, are different. They can be an art form too. And movies can as well.
Anything
but
can be
so
an art form.
Many things are just entertainment. Like novels started out as movies of before there were movies. Essentially.
Movies that you read.
But it's this thing that, like, you can't just accept things for what they are. It's frustrating.
Have you seen In the Name of the Father with, I can't think of his name, but the guy who used to play in the Highlander TV show? It's about IRA assassin guy, like, trying to get out of the game. Like, you should watch that.
I'm not, but callback from another, that was one of the guys who played Jerry Adams on the BBC. Like, actually, like,
oh.
did the voice of Jerry Adams,
oh.
who was the president
that
of
a
the...
really long
Y'all
callback.
Have to, this is an... It was an
You're talking about the guy from the Highlanders TV show?
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
I can't think of his name, but go keep going. I'm going to look it up right now.
We talked about, many episodes ago, about Jerry Adams, who was the president of the IRA, who wasn't allowed to speak on the BBC, because apparently, like, I don't know, that's weird. So they would, like, dub over with other voices, and I'm, like, pretty sure the actor from that was one of the...
Adrian Paul was his name.
I'm almost Adrian 100% Paul. Positive.
If I showed you a picture, do you want to see a picture
Adrian
now or
Paul.
See a picture like in the 90s?
In the 90s.
Anyway, well, you can listen to us every Tuesday at 8 o'clock in the morning on WHIV LP New Orleans. You can also check us out on our website, goodmorningcomrade.com. Check us out on WHIVFM.org/good-morning-comrade. Listen to us this Monday. We're going to be going, I think, and through the runoffs. If I just have to double check with Mark Allen on that, but excuse me, we have been running on Mondays, having very special guests. Like we say, we have Shonda Wyatt and Mary Menorah coming on yesterday. We're going to have those posted up on our website really soon if they're not already. You can also check out goodmorningcomrade.com if you want to be a part of the show. Send us an email, contact@goodmorningcomrade.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter @comrademorning.
And in case any of you were waiting on bated breath, I think I was incorrect about that last thing I just said.
Unbelievable. First time for everything.
Sorry, fake
you
news.
You should watch Highlander TV show. You should watch that. That's the moral of the story.
All right. Well, anyway, love you. Bye.